I told you everything I knew about the Lord last time, about 3 weeks ago, and so I'm just going to rehash. No. I'm going to try to go over what I think the Lord's been dealing with me in about love. Yeah, Bibles. If anybody needs a Bible, Mike's back there. But I'm going to try to explain what he's been trying to get across to me about the love for God and righteousness. Don talked to us, I think it was last week, about how we are to be righteous. And he asked us if we were and we need to be. And I'm going to try to bring it together with how that works with the love for God. The first commandment, everybody knows what that is. You can yell it out. I don't care. Love the Lord with all your heart, soul, and mind. This has been registering on me for the last little while, and I'm trying to understand what that really means. I mean, how do you do that? How do you love somebody with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind? Humanly, I don't think it's possible. I think it's the key is when the Lord shows us who He is and dumps Jesus in our hearts and starts showing us what that love is. But love is going to produce something it has in me that is going to want to make a right relationship with the Lord, no matter what, no matter what's going on, no matter what I've done, what I hadn't done. That's what spurs out of love for God in my heart is to be righteous. That's what righteousness is a right standing with God. In other words, confidence. There's nothing between us. There's no wall. There's no gap. That's what the Lord came for. If you love somebody, you want to do things right. And depending on how much you love and to what extent you're willing to make it right, it's that heart porn of how deep, how far am I willing to go to make this relationship better? God's side has been done. He's not going to do anything else. He's not sending another Jesus. He's not going to dump the Holy Spirit down here again. And I mean, His work has been done. What has been accomplished by Him has already been taking place. It's up to us on our end of it, our love, to tap into that, to see what that is, how that goes in our life. I know with, I've been married to Lois, 23 years, almost 23. And she's pretty easy to get along with, except for one time. And I'm going to tell you that one time, and I'm going to tell you right up front, it was my fault. I drove her to it. I've never seen anybody that mad get her that mad. And it was me, but it was in the big war of 86. And she was on her way to Hallelujah practice here at Lamplight. And she was answering the phones. She worked part-time and had phones answering at our house for my uncle's business. And I got home late. You're right at the time, right when she was walking out and really needing to go, but it was about a half hour earlier than she was supposed to stop answering the phones. So when I walked through the door, I'm like tired, and I'm like, she had a house full of kids. She kept kids, and I didn't want to see no kids. And she says, "You got to answer the phone for 30 minutes, and at 5 o'clock, then you can stop." And I said, "I ain't going to do it. I ain't answering no phone for nobody else." And da-da-da-da, and she was begging with me, and I said, "No, I'm not going to." And anyway, I don't remember if I did answer the phone. I think I was told to, but the phone never rings, so I never had to answer it. But on the way out, and we still debating over this, Lois said something to me. And we still debate what exactly it was, but she either said I was full of something or to kiss something. I don't remember which one it was. But when you drive Lois that far, you've done something bad. Because I've never seen her that bad. But I'm telling you, it was my fault. I should have said, "Yes, I know you're rushed and you had a rough day." But that did not last long. I mean, that night we straightened that deal out. And because of love. You don't want that gap. You don't want that wall there. There's two kinds of righteousness that I found. One is in, or they're both actually listed in Philippians 3:9. If you want to turn there, I've got little markers in my Bible, so hang with me. I said I did. Philippians 3:9. Somebody took my marker out of my Bible. I bet it's Brian. Trying to mess me up. And being found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. So there's two kinds. There's our own, which comes from the law, and then there's righteousness, which is from God through faith in Christ. Paul, I'm gonna start back at Philippians 3:3-9, and Paul is explaining this because he was starting to brag, not in a bad way, but he was trying to explain to the people or to the church in Philippi about they're coming close to being in their own righteousness or dealing with God in their own righteousness. And he was kind of telling them right off the bat, I'll read about how good he was in his righteousness. And he thought, and you know what the Lord changed, but Philippians 3:3-9, for it is we who are the circumcision, we who worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus and who put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reasons for such confidence. And he's getting ready to tell you why he was so confident in his flesh. If anyone else thinks he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcision on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, he was persecuting the church. He was full of zeal. And as for what he calls a brand of righteousness, is legalistic righteousness, he was faultless. So in other words, by the law, he was walking where he thought he ought to be. But it was trying to explain to him, through his own righteousness, he was putting confidence in his flesh, not in Christ. Which is, when we put confidence in the flesh, we will fail, guaranteed, every time. The Lord tells us no man has done that except for Jesus. We need the righteousness of Christ through faith. Now, we are to be righteous, and this is where Don was, I think, kind of expanding on. We can't have a false humility about the righteousness. We need to stand up. We need to be righteous. We need to be the righteousness of God in the right spirit and in the right kind of righteousness. Ephesians 4:23-24 says, he tells us to be made new in the attitude of your minds and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So right there, he's telling us what we're to be and who we're to be like. That gym cuts up with Don, or I think he might be having shoes to fill about coming into gym stuff. I mean, the Lord's telling us, be like me. Be like me. And like I said, I think I told last time I was talking with, I don't think the Lord's going to tell us to do anything that we can't do. So we are to be righteous. We are to pursue righteousness. 2 Timothy 2:22, he says, flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace. So he's telling us to go after it in 2 Timothy. And in 1 Timothy 6:11, he says, but you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness. So we're to go after it. We're to be it and we're to go after it. But like I said, the kind of is his righteousness, the faith. This is how we become righteous toward the Father. How do we do this? I'm glad you ask. Hebrews 12:6-11. I got so many verses on my, if you can't get there, don't worry about it. I'll try to read through it. But the first way how we come to into righteousness, is it right? Okay, Hebrews 12, 6 through 11 is we are to endure hardship as discipline. What he says, let's see. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. Moreover, we have a human father. Moreover, we've all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father and our spirits and live? Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our own good, that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. But later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and of peace, and for those who have been trained by it. So enduring hardship, he promises, is going to produce a harvest of righteousness. The other way that I found, and like I said, I'm not limiting God and what he can do, but I found that obedience leads to righteousness. In Romans 6:16, this is interesting because we sang a song today about, what was it, obedience, and then it says holiness and righteousness. If the Lord showed me this a few months ago, it's interesting. In Romans 6, it's 16. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves as someone to obey him as slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey? Whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. Being obedient will lead us to righteousness, not in our own strength, but through love for Christ and through the faith that we have. This is a key point, I think, is the motivation. I think righteousness is going to produce the same result. In other words, if we're right, even if we're trying to do it in the flesh as Paul did, things are going to get accomplished in the kingdom. In other words, you're going to follow God's statutes, but that's not what God's after. He's after the motive or the reason you're doing it. That's where it brings you back to love. In other words, love for God is why we're doing this. This is why we're being obedient. This is why I want to be righteous. This is why I'm pursuing righteousness. So the motive is what I think the Lord's after. Why are you doing what you're doing? A good example was the rich young ruler. You know, he asked the Lord, "Hey, how do I get in this kingdom deal?" He said, "Well, you had to follow the commandments. You know, you can't commit adultery, can't do that, da 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 da." Rich young ruler says, "Done it." And then the Lord told him something else. Said, "You won't be perfect or worthy, mature." He says, "Come follow me. Sell all that you got. Come follow me, because that's where my heart is right now for you." Commandment parts he did, but said he went away a sad man because he was very wealthy. I think that tells you right off where he was at. So the motive is really important. I heard a joke I told. That's one time I touched my face, I remember. How many has it been? Three? One, just one? Okay. I heard a joke the other day that brings home to about a motive or the reason you're doing something. And I told Char last week. This farmer had a wife and got real sick. And so he called the doctor, and the doctor came and said that she's not going to make it. So he called the coroner or whatever, and the people come picked her up and had her on the stretcher and was carrying her out the front door. And the first guy on the stretcher was cut the corner too close and hit the holly bush on the side and dropped his into the stretcher. And when it did, the woman came back. Liv says, "Healthy as a horse for another 10 years. About another 10 years, she got sick. So the farmer called the doctor back, and he says, she's not going to make it this time. So they went through the same routine, called the coroner out, and they're carrying her out on a stretcher, and that farmer yells out. He says, "Y'all boys, watch that holly bush." His motive was not he wanted to protect those guys from the holly bush. You know, his motive wasn't true. His motive wasn't what he was really after. But through love, the willingness to walk as Christ did, his measure of love was his gift of Christ. That was his love, his end of the deal. Our measure of love is obedience. 1 John 5:3, and I'm going to just give you this one verse, but this is really ton loads of verses like this. It says, this is love for God, to obey his commands, and his commands aren't burdensome. There's tons of verses that say, you know, if you love me, feed my sheep, or if you love me, keep my commandments. It's a big marker for our end of the bargain. How do we know how much we love the Lord? That's our part. We know what he did for us. Now, how does he know what it is? It's not keeping rules. It's just why we keep the rules. The rules will be taken care of if we follow in the Spirit. Paul goes into this big time in Romans about, hey, follow the flesh, follow the sinful nature. It's going to lead to death. Follow the Spirit. You don't have to know all 633 laws or whatever they're on the Old Testament. Those will take care of itself. The Spirit is not going to lead you contrary to anything in here. There is a great prayer that Paul prays in Philippians 1:9-11, and I'm probably going to close with this because I don't want to keep y'all here all day, and that's about all I had to say anyway. But Paul's telling, he says, and this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and the depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. He says, be filled with the fruit of righteousness. And just a little sidebar. Isaiah, we'll be recognized by our fruit. It says in Isaiah 32:17 says, the fruit of righteousness will be peace, and the effect of righteousness will be quietness and confidence forever. So watch a Christian. And if we're Christians, this is what we ought to be projecting to the world. No excuse not to. Not that we're going to have hard things that we're going through and we're not going to be jumping up and down yelling, but our attitude for God should not change. In other words, the effect of righteousness is going to be quietness and confidence forever. We'll be peace. We'll be at peace. And this is what the Lord promised us. One thing when I started telling you about Betty and a lot of the sickness that's going around in church is, the Lord showed me this last night late. He said, the prayers of a righteous man will be effective. This is another reason why we want to be righteous. We want our prayers to count for something. So when we pray for Betty and when we pray for Jim, and I'm not going to get off on a tangent about, well, they're still sick, so you ain't righteous, or, you know, all this kind of stuff. But I do know that if we want our prayers to be effective, we better be righteous. If we want God to hear us, have nothing between us, no walls between us. Paul, we talked to, I don't know if it was Don a few weeks ago, we talked about entering that throne room. We sang about it today a little bit. I can't imagine what that's going to be like. But we need to have the confidence to be ready to go into that deal at any time, wanting that deal. You know, Paul, and if his life was like, man, you know, I'm tired of this down here. I want to come see you now. If he wasn't right before God or had anything hidden in his back pocket or anything, he wouldn't have been saying that. But yet, out of obedience, he says, Lord, if you got anything else for me to do here, that's what I'm here to do. It didn't affect how he thought about God. Didn't affect, his walk wasn't different. He wasn't mad at God when, you know, God was telling him up front, you know, hey, you're going into Jerusalem. This is going to be it, bud. He said, hey, God, you're telling me to go. The Spirit said the Spirit led him there. He knew what was coming. God really, 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 really had to have a confidence in Paul to tell him before he went into Jerusalem what was going to happen. Because I can tell you, I hope I can get to that point, but I'm like, if the Lord laid on my heart, well, you go down to Belmont and this is it, boy. I'm probably right now be trying to wiggle out how to get out of Belmont trip, you know. But Paul was there. He put no confidence in the flesh. The flesh counted for nothing. In other words, whatever he did, it was for love and through God. The song that I was talking about was the righteousness and holiness in that first chapter in Romans 6. If you read on through it, it's a neat, it says obedience leads to righteousness. And it goes on to say righteousness leads to holiness. And it says holiness is important because we all know without holiness, no one will see the Lord. So those things work. I mean, they're like, he's showing me, you know, okay, this obedience will lead to righteousness. This righteousness will lead to holiness. This holiness will lead to, he said, the benefits of holiness is eternal life. So it's a step that we're walking into, but we got to keep the motive right. In other words, why are we doing what we're doing? Why, you know, why do we sing what we sing? Why do we do what we do? It's a big line that I've heard a lot across the gym. It's not what we do that gets us in the kingdom. But if we're in the kingdom, this is what we'll be doing. Big difference. Big difference. And you don't get in and say, well, I don't got to do that. I'm not. No, if you're in the kingdom and you have a love for Christ, you'll be doing it. Be doing it for different reasons, but you'll be doing it. It ain't a working way. I'm not working my way in, but it will be, well, because I'm in, here's where my heart is. Here's what I want to do. Here's how I want to live. I'll close with that. You want to pray? You want me to? Lord, we thank you for the gift of your Son. Lord, I thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit. Lord, I thank you for the gift of your Word. You've entrusted us with a whole lot more than a lot of the earlier people that walked for you and with you. Lord, I thank you for your willingness to share and give us insight and give us wisdom. Lord, help us. I pray now that we all will take a look at ourselves and see each other as you see us. Lord, I thank you for what you accomplished through your Son. And Lord, help us carry that with us all day long, all week long. And let that spark something in the world's eye, Lord. We want to be that example. We want to be that glimpse of Christ that it may be some people in the world, that may be the only one they get to see. Lord, we don't want to let you down on that one. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.